are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Welcome to all our churches, the many thousands there in Pretoria. A big shout out to all of you, Johannesburg, East Rand, Kroonstad, welkom, East London, those in correctional facilities this morning. We welcome you here from Bloemfontein, Pretoria, Groot Vlei, Polsmoor, Abington, Kimberley, and then of course all our live stream viewers, our television audience. It is such a great honor and a great privilege to bring God's word right where you are every single week. I know today again that God will touch you, that God is going to move in your life in a very, very special way. Amen. Are you ready? Three of you. Pretoria, are you ready? Bloemfontein, are you ready? Well, I hope you're ready because we're starting a new series this morning and I'm calling it The Overflow. Somebody say overflow. Oh, come on, I want to feel you. Say overflow. How many of you are believing God for the overflow? How many of you can do with some overflow? How many of you believe that the best years of your life are ahead of you? How many of you believe the rest of your life will be the best of your life? Come on. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's talk about the journey into God's overflow. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, be teaching this morning, and I'll be preaching tonight. Jesus went about teaching and preaching. So we don't just need inspiration. We need a little bit of perspiration as well. Get the principles of God, apply the principles of God, and do some hard work. Deuteronomy 8 verse 1, the Bible says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply. Everybody say multiply. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land here in Bloemfontein, there in Pretoria, Tshwane, Johannesburg, wherever you are, of which the Lord swore to your fathers. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble and to test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We're going to talk about that. How to progress through obedience, listening to and following the voice of God in your life, building your life upon the Rhema and the Logos. He says, your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. So those elephant feet is not God's will. God promises divine healing. God promises divine life and divine prosperity. Amen. This is the year of God's divine restoration. This is the beginning of a 7-year cycle of glory. I don't care what is happening in the economic world out there. I will declare the word of God and you will prosper. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above only and you will not be beneath. Come on, you will go over and you will not go under. I don't care your present location. I'm going to talk to you about the place where you are going, because you cannot change yesterday, but you will change tomorrow. And tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be bigger. Tomorrow you will experience the overflow of God in your life. Come on, don't look at me like that. You'll trigger me to preach to you. It says in verse number 5, you shall know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to fear him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say a good land. A land of brooks and water, fountains and springs that flow out of the valley and the hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Everybody say, without scarcity. In which you will lack nothing. Say, I will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and whose hills you can dig out copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgment, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten, God just assumes that if you follow him, the following will happen. You will eat, you will be full. You will build beautiful houses and dwell in them. How many of you are believing God for a beautiful house? Lift your hand and shout amen. Say, that's me. Now there's your scripture. God says you will have beautiful houses and you will have beautiful lands. Right there in the Bible. That's the old covenant. God gives you a new covenant, a better covenant. Say amen. He says, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Hallelujah. So when you follow God, you don't decrease. When you follow God, you increase. Okay? Not quesera, sera, whatever will be, will be. We believe the Bible, not what tradition says, not what religion says. This is the promise of God to His people after God delivers them from the land of bondage. God says, I'm taking you into the land of overflow. In this land, you will eat your bread without scarcity. Your business will thrive. Your business will not just survive. You will go over. You will not go under. You will be the head. You will not be the tail. Whatever you set your hand to will prosper and will be blessed. Now you can believe it and say amen, or you can be cynical and filled with doubt and go without. God says one thing, when I bless you, don't allow your heart to be lifted up. Don't become uppity up. Don't let your nose go 3 degrees higher and forget that everything you have comes from God, that God gives you the power. God gives you the anointing. He says, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which you were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you. Realize God blesses you, and because of God's blessing, it causes humility in people's hearts. Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. God doesn't push your face in the ground. God lifts you up. God blesses you with goodness so that you can remember, all I have comes from God. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Somebody say amen. He says in verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth. What does God give you? Power to do what? To get wealth. Everybody say power to get wealth. Say it again. Power to get wealth. Well, that's in your Bible. I see some of you are sitting here, maybe you visitors, you're sitting here looking at me all cynical. That old mindset that says, well, don't expect too much from life. Well, I'm going to expect everything God says I can expect. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. So God says, I give you not the wealth, I give you the power to get the wealth. The word power, we know, is the Hebrew word K-O-W-A-C-H, which means I give you the might, the strength, the ability, the fortitude, the anointing, the resources. I give you something, the gifts, the talents, so that you can generate wealth. Why? Purpose. So that I may establish my covenant, so that God's kingdom can be established. So we understand prosperity without purpose will cause people to become flaky. So God promises to give you power to get wealth. He gives you the capacity, the means, the produce, the ability, the power, the strength, the substance, the wealth, and the anointing. So we know the story in the Bible where God calls His children, He delivers them from the land of bondage, which we are going to call today the land of never enough. The place we all start, which is a land of bondage. Or somebody come help me take off the thing, just that one. The land of bondage, which is the land of failure, the land of never enough. We all start here. Everybody starts in this place of never enough. Never enough is not a good place because it is never enough. Never enough peace, never enough joy, never enough happiness, never enough money, never enough anointing, never enough, never enough. I don't have enough to go on holiday. I don't have enough to pay my bills. Well, many people live here. God delivered Israel from this place with a mighty hand. We know the story. And God took them not to, but through. Quickly, come. God took them through the land of just enough. The land of just enough represents the land of survival. The land of survival. God doesn't want you just to survive. Unfortunately, most people spend all their lives in this place. The land of survival. The land of just enough. God's will for you is to go to the land. Come on. Come on, quickly. To go to the place of more than enough. To go to the place of overflow. The place of divine blessing. The place where all your needs are met. The place where you have enough so that you can meet the needs of other people as well. Come on. That's what God promises. Oh, come on. Give the Lord a praise offering in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when God comes to Israel in Egypt, which represents salvation, God says, I'm going to take you out of the land of bondage, the place of failure. Thank God failure is not fatal. But failure should never be a destination. Never enough should never be a destination. Because many religious people think, Lord, you keep him humble, we will keep him poor. It's like people think people with money are evil. Well, where will you find it in the Bible? The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow for it. It's like people who are blessed, the few people who are actually living in the land of more than enough, almost live with apology. So we want to talk about how to get from the land of just enough, from the land of never enough, through the land of just enough, into the land of more than enough. Now, many people have exited never enough, but they have camped in just enough. Israel camped here for 40 years. A journey that was meant to be 7 months ended up taking 45 years. And we'll talk about why. Because as a pastor this year, on the 1st of celebrating 30 years of full-time ministry, the biggest challenge we have as men and women of God is to get people out of this place. Never enough. I don't have peace, Pastor. I don't have healing in my body. I don't have money, Pastor. I don't have time, Pastor. I'm not a happy person. I'm struggling with depression, Pastor. I'm struggling with pain of yesterday, Pastor. So never enough joy, never enough peace, never enough prosperity, never enough money. Narita and I lived here for too long. When we got married, we started out in this place, never enough. We never had enough to go eat out in restaurants. We never had enough to go on holiday. When people invited us to go and eat with them, I would always say, I don't have time, I've got something to do. The truth was, I didn't have. And I wasn't one of those ignoramus or ignorant people that swipe now, pay later. I've never believed in that. I don't believe in credit. If I don't have the money, I will not spend it. So we lived here for 7 years. Couldn't afford to buy paper nappies. We used Steri nappy, something none of the young people know today. I mean, I raised Angelique like a bird, and Narita had to go back after 2 weeks. She went back to work because we needed the finances. We didn't have money rain out of heaven. We planted a church, but we didn't have furniture. We didn't have curtains in our home. We didn't have a dining room suite. We had a dining room suite with a table and 2 broken chairs. Our curtains were old things that we got from other people too short. So I was too embarrassed to invite people to our house because we never had enough. Couldn't go on holiday. We visited the in-laws, Sid and Joan, because we never had enough money. Never had enough. That was until I came to Bloemfontein and a businessman came to me and said, Pastor, the church in Lady Brand is prospering. We built that building cash. We gave ourselves a lot into that. Of the most affluent people in the community came, applied the word of God. People prospered. But Narita and I was not prospering because I was struggling with this mindset. Well, a pastor cannot really expect to be blessed. It's like, you know, you need to suffer for Jesus. You're doing God a favor by suffering for Jesus. Businessman walked into my house the day before we moved. He said to me, Pastor, you've been teaching us now 5 years in Lady Brand to believe God for prosperity, but you're not living your message. You're not prospering. I suggest you begin to believe God for God to bless you and prosper you. Listen, it was like somebody struck me between my eyes because I was preaching the gospel, wearing the same shirt for 3, 4, 5 years, same shoot that started shining, not because it was a mohair shoot, but because I wore it so many times. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I never acted like a poor person, but we were living in the place of never enough until somebody looked me in the eye and he said, you better change your mind about yourself. You believe in God to bless the church, but you're not believing God to bless you. You need to change your attitude, he tells me. First, I got offended, but then it was like something struck me between my eyes. And I realized what he said is true. That I allowed my own thinking, my own reservations, my own limitations to keep me in that place of never enough. And you will not find God calling anybody throughout the Bible to the place of never enough. Everybody that follows God, God says, you come and you follow me and I will make you a blessing. I will make you the head. Come on. You will go over. You will lend to many nations. Oh, come on. You will lend to many nations. You will not borrow. Come on. You will go over and you will not go under. Whatever you put your hand to will be blessed. So we made up our minds that we are going to get out of the place of never enough. We never had enough. We couldn't buy clothes for the children. Doretta made clothes. My wife made clothes. Bought a sewing machine, made clothes. It's okay to start there. Jesus was born in the stable because all the hotels were full. I just want to clarify that. But he never stayed there. At his birth, people came. The wise men came and they gave him frankincense, gold and myrrh. Not a little bit of myrrh, but enough resources for the parents to raise him up. Now that's going to mess with your religious mind. It's like people think Jesus was all poor in his earthly ministry. He wasn't. They gambled for his clothes when he died. You don't gamble for a poor man's garment. I mean, Jesus had so much money in his ministry that the disciples would give to the poor. Judas was stealing out of the offering and nobody knew what was lost except Jesus by discernment. Well, if you only have two pennies and somebody steals one, everybody will know. But Jesus had overflow in his ministry. Whoever Jesus touched, he brought into the overflow. After Peter toiled all night, Jesus said, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to put my hand upon you, and you're going to catch a multitude of fish. In your own strength, you caught nothing. But with me in your boat, oh, come on, you will have an overflow. And God blessed him so much, and I want to prophesy and say to somebody there in Pretoria, Johannesburg, Gary, and Bloemfontein, God's going to bless your boat. God's going to bless you with the overflow in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout overflow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we changed our minds, but Israel never did. Exodus chapter 6, God comes to them through Moses when he calls them. In verse number 6, he says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, seven I wills. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to your fathers, which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So God makes this amazing promise. He says, you've been a slave for 430 years. I'm bringing you out with a mighty hand. But watch what happens. God says, I am the Lord. This is not Moses talking to you. This is me. I'm going to change things in your life. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to remove the dearth. I'm going to break the poverty. I'm going to break the drought. I'm going to remove sickness and disease from your body. This will be the year of divine restoration. You will be blessed, blessed, blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So the Bible says in verse 9, so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. He preached the word of God. He said what God said. I have come that you may have life and have more abundantly, the Bible says. But they did not listen. They did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Anguish of spirit that produced cruel bondage. The word anguish of spirit literally means shortness of sight. Proverbs 29 verse 18. Where there's no vision, people perish. When you sit in this place too long, you begin to lose your vision. Because all you see is, I don't have enough. There is not enough. All you hear are your parents saying there's not enough money for clothes. There's not enough money. That's all people hear in this world. The world of bondage. The world of failure. That produces a slave mindset in people. God comes. God performs signs and wonders for the nation of Israel. A pillar of fire. A pillar of cloud by day and by night. And yet they never heeded the voice of God. Because they were so bound with cruel bondage. Shortness of sight. Lack of vision. They could not see what God saw. All they saw was lack, famine, failure, never enough. My problem, not his promise, my problem. The longer you spend time here, the more people begin to die and lose vision. The more their surroundings become their reality. That's why God says, I'm going to bring you out in one night. Deliverance, salvation with a mighty hand. God has to almost jerk you out of this place. grab you out of this place through a divine encounter so that you will leave the house of bondage. The sad thing is, although God brought them out with a mighty hand, on the way to the promised land, this mindset followed them. Every time they didn't have what they thought they should have, they murmured and complained before God. Psalm 78 verse 41, the Bible says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They tempted him and again by murmuring and complaining against God. God is not a good God. This is not going to be a year of restoration. This is not going to be the year of overflow. God says something and they say something exactly the opposite. That mindset followed them to the brink of the promised land. When the time came for them to enter in, the Bible says they could not because of their mindset, because of this grasshopper mentality. They saw the promised land, but their negative mindset kept them from the land of overflow. I've seen in the last 30 years of ministry, the number one thing that stops people from going through the land of just enough into the land of more than enough is not the devil. It's not even the lack of anointing. It's a mindset that is not renewed. It is thought patterns, shortness of spirit, lack of vision that causes people to gravitate back to where they've come from. So the more time you spend, or the less time you spend in that place, the better. Because in that place of bondage, failure, never enough, people lose their vision. Listen, people learn to settle for anything. People learn to accept second best. People develop, listen, this is a big one, scrapyard faith. They believe God, but they don't believe God for the best. Reinhard Bonnke, great evangelist. I was a young man. I heard this testimony and I repented because I realized I was living on scrapyard faith. He said he was traveling in Africa having crusades and he bought trucks and he thought he was going to save money. So he only could afford secondhand trucks. So he just bought secondhand. Goedkoop is duurkoop. And his trucks were breaking down in Africa all the time. And he was complaining to God, saying, God, I'm doing your work. I'm in the ministry for you and the trucks are breaking. Don't you want me to do the crusades? And the Spirit of God spoke back to him and said, you better change your level of faith and get rid of that scrapyard faith, that second best mentality faith, that anything will do attitude in your life. Come on. God says you will be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, come on, somebody give the Lord a shout there in Pretoria. You're in Bloemfontein. Hallelujah. Scrapyard faith. We're going to talk about this from the Bible according to your faith. You can settle anywhere. You can settle between never enough and just enough. And we can call that a place of just slightly short of. You have, but you just almost have enough. Yeah, you just have enough. God wants you to be in the place of more than enough, where you don't even think about your own needs anymore. Where you think about the needs of other people. That's what God says. I will bless you so you can be a blessing. Where you don't live for yourself. Most people are praying all their prayers just to have enough. Just to pay the bills, just to have peace, just to have a good night's rest. God has wanted you to live there. He wants you to live in the place of overflow, where you will have peace, joy, righteousness, more than enough resources. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving now. You've come here today. They're in Pretoria, in Johannesburg. Watching on the live stream television, God is touching your heart. I want to give you the opportunity to make your peace with Jesus today. God loves you. God's overflow is in the person of Jesus Christ. He sent him to this world 2,000 years ago. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is overflow. You're sitting here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. If I die today, I don't even know where I will spend eternity. I read my Bible, I go to church, but I have no relationship with God. But today something is happening in my life. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to make my peace with God. Or like the prodigal son, I want to come back to my father's house. I need God to forgive my sin. I need God to heal my brokenness. I need a new beginning today. Then I want to pray for you right now. There is no shame in the presence of God. There is no place you can go where the love of God will not find you. The Father is here today to save you, to forgive you, to restore you. But you have to open your heart and allow Him to take His rightful place. I want you to close your eyes, forget about everybody, listen to my voice and pray this prayer according to the Word of God there in Pretoria as well. Everybody pray with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Christ. I believe You died for my sin. I believe You rose from the grave. I believe You are alive. Please save me. Forgive my sin. Wash me in Your blood. Give me the power to be a child of God. I surrender my life to You. Thank You for a new life. Thank You for a new beginning. Thank You for accepting me. Thank You for loving me. I belong to You forever. I am forgiven. All my sins are forgiven. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.